when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious, precious Blood River Radio family out there. I'm so glad you're in today. You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We have two of our ace brothers and sisters on tonight. We have my big sister, Nancy Hitt, and we also we have the Alabama Lone Wolf, Rand Owens, on tonight. They're going to be with us. And you know the drill here, what we usually do, I usually come out with them smoking with about the first segment or segment plus 5 minutes, then we go to them. But also, you also know the drill too, people. This is going to be a very emotional show. Before I go to the prayer, I did a 18.7-mile run today with the St. Jude Heroes and Breakaway Running, getting ready for the New York Marathon, and I ran over many of the exact same streets that the precious girl Eliza Fletcher, was. She was slaughtered, raped, tortured by this brutal, violent, feral animal, Negro. That's pretty much their trade. That's pretty much what they do. But anyway, people, that's. I'll talk more, a little bit more about that later. But people, you know, this is September. I can't believe it's September the 10th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. That's just the way it is. He died on the cross. It's really simple. Read John. You get to go to your Bible, read John 3:16. If you believe that, that's all you need. The rest of it's kind of like, I guess you could say it's almost like fluff. Anyway, people, if you will, you know the drill. If you will, please bow your heads, and I'm going to do the best I can in my humble, not too eloquent way to say a prayer. So bow your heads, people. Almighty Father God, I know you're looking down here in the world, in Tennessee, in Memphis, and oh Lord, it's just like you said. It's just like your brother John said, your servant John said in Revelation, in other parts of the Scripture, a man had become lovers of themselves, backbiters, thieves, adulterers, fornicators, sodomites, everything bad. Lord, I don't know how any of us, of your elect, of your white Christian people, would survive if I wasn't a Christian. And I know that there will be an elect, to paraphrase Brother Rand. There will always be an elect, but Lord, we have to maintain our faith. If you would please give us the faith to believe your word, even when times get very hard like they are now. And Lord, I've asked this before, but if you will, Lord, please wake our people up, our precious white people. I think it's the most beautiful race of people that you ever made. This people, white people, have accomplished more in your name, medicine, engineering, art, sciences, the law, everything, manufacturing, everything that has been accomplished, any value in this world, Lord, our race did it, and other races have benefited greatly. But, oh, Lord, we are under such attack, us white people, and what's so discouraging, Lord, I'll ask, I'll make this short, Lord, don't want to bore you, but God, if you will, please, God, do what you have to do to wake up the rest of our self-hating white people that will fight against their own kind, that will stand with a feral animal, Negro, and fight for them to the death. They're like, I just don't understand that, God. So if you will, Lord, give us the discernment to know who the enemy is, and we know, Lord, here at Blood River Radio. Give us the courage to always, always ride to the sound of the gunfire. And, Lord, one more thing. Please, if you will, be with the family of Eliza Fletcher, the lady who was brutally murdered this past Friday. Be with them, Lord, and let something good come out of that, if possible. If nothing else, let that event shake up some of these cucks, these self-hating cucks here in Memphis, Tennessee, if you will, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. People, we also, as you know, we always have to mention our precious donors. And I'm going to start off with Big Sister Nancy Hitt. She sent not only a donation, she sent a beautiful card. It wouldn't take anything for it. She did it herself. She took a photograph on the Natchez Trace that runs from Nashville all the way down to Natchez, Mississippi. She took a beautiful photograph of these beautiful tombstones, headstones, of 13 unknown Confederate soldiers on that Natchez Trace. I wouldn't take anything for it. Here's what she says. She says, "Hello, little brother Eddie. Keep up the great work. Enclosed is a contribution to your efforts. It's our efforts, all of our efforts. Your fourth string guest and big mean sister, Nancy Hitt." And she says, "God save what is left of the South." That's incorporated into our prayer. God knows he'll accept that. And here she says, "Always do what you are afraid to do." And that was a quotation by Emerson. And she said it was good advice to me. And I think that should be good advice to everybody. We also have Big Ben. I'm just going to stop calling him Ken. I'm just going to call him Big Ben, Ken of Lynbrook, New York. He sends in donations all the time. God bless you, Big Ben. People like you, people like Nancy, and our other donors I'm getting ready to mention, we could not do anything without them. Thank you so much. We have Steve in Baltimore. Sent us in a nice donation and a nice letter, a nice long letter. It's long. We don't have time to read it tonight because we got a lot to cover. We also had Biscuit in Florida. Biscuit in Florida. We couldn't do without Biscuit, that's for sure. And if I have time, I'd like to read what Biscuit said. If our guys will remind me, I'd like to read a text he sent me. When I get down and out and want to quit sometimes, text messages like that, encouraging letters from people like Big Sister Nancy keep me going. Well, people, that's all I have right now. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you a quick summary of what I did this morning. I'll go a little further on what I did. You know, I run with a group called the St. Jude Heroes in Memphis, and we run, when I first started, we did half marathons and full marathons, and that's all they had. Now they have 5Ks, 10Ks, have all kinds of stuff. They do anything they can to raise money for St. Jude. I've been doing that since 2012. And, well, I'll tell you what, it's getting tougher. I'll tell you what, if you ever think you're a stud when you're 75 years old, you think you're a stud, go out there and start running with these 18, 20, 25, and 30-year-olds, and you'll find out right quick that no amount of training, no amount of nutritional supplements can make you go back to 20 years old again. Anyway, I was running on the streets of all over Midtown Memphis. We run Midtown. Next week we run Germantown. The week after that we run Midtown again. Well, Midtown is important, people, because that's the route that Miss Eliza Fletcher was running last Friday when she got brutally attacked. And she runs those streets all the time. She was a 34-year-old precious Christian lady. I think she had two boys, maybe three. And she was a very accomplished runner here in Memphis. Everybody knew her. I didn't know her as a friend. She was younger and faster than I am. And she hung out in the vastly different groups. You might say probably on the, I won't call them conservatives out of respect for her. But I probably wouldn't fit in real well with those people. But anyway, I knew of her, respected her. She qualified for Boston, so that means she was fast. I started my run about 5 o'clock in the morning, about an hour before the St. Jude Heroes, because since I'm running New York, I'm a month ahead of them. So I have to be prepared to run that marathon a month before the Memphis Marathon, which will follow. New York's November the 6th. Memphis will be December 3rd. So anyway, people, I just want to let you know, to say it was gut-wrenching because I was out there running by myself in the pitch black. And a couple of cars stopped and acted squirrely, because probably just trying to, you know, show their butt. But you know, I'm on high alert. Everybody's on high alert in Memphis because it's just going just bat poops crazy. But anyway, it was very emotional, and we're going to in the next segment, we're going to play a video, an audio video. And it's I think Cameron said it's about 8 minutes. And immediately after that video, we're turning this over to Big Sister Nancy Hitt and the Alabama Lone Wolf, because they're going to handle the rest of the show. And that's just the way we like to do things around here. But we'll be going to a break any second. They had a huge memorial run for Eliza Fletcher yesterday morning. I couldn't go. It was an 8.2-mile run because I had to do – I was going to do 20 this morning, but the coach, Barry, said, no, reel her back in. He said 20 was too high. I would peak too early. But anyway, I had to go in that pre-dark like I was telling you about this morning. So I could not run. I wasn't going to go out there and run 8.2 miles at 4:30 in the morning Friday and then get up, you know, at four. No, well, I have to get up this morning 3:15. I couldn't do that. And if I was like 20 years old, I'd have probably done it. But I wish I could have. But I did almost just as well. And I'm telling you, I can tell you, all I could do to keep the crown. That was a precious lady. I've seen her before. I knew of her. Like I say, she wasn't my friend. But if you will, keep her in your prayers. People, we're getting ready to go after this break. We're getting ready. When we come back, we'll be playing audio video from Tucker Carlson. And then the show, rest of the show, will be our other brothers and sisters of Blood River Radio. Be right back, folks. Hang on.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Well, dear precious Blood River Radio people listening, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. And listen, our dear precious young webmaster and this tech guy, he's getting ready to roll that clip. Go ahead and roll that clip, Cameron.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson. Tonight, the most important thing to keep in mind in a period of intense change is that things are in fact changing. Things weren't always this way. So memory, history is your best defense against manipulation. When you remember the way things were, you can fight to preserve them. When you no longer remember what was always this way, then you're at their mercy. So with that in mind, it's worth remembering that 100 years ago, Memphis was one of the richest, best-organized cities in the country. It had a booming economy. It had beautiful municipal parks, a lot of them, more than 100. It had one of the most modern sanitation systems in the world, something we take for granted now. But when yellow fever was real, no one took it for granted. Memphis was such a big deal that it, in fact, was the informal capital of an entire American region, the Mississippi Delta. But not anymore. In fact, by last year, if you went to Memphis, it was hard to believe that any of that had ever been true at any point, because by that point and now, Memphis had become a husk and a highly threatening one. In 2021, according to federal statistics, Memphis, Tennessee was the most dangerous city in the United States. Last year, it recorded a total of 342 murders. Now, how many is that? Well, by comparison, San Antonio, Texas, which has more than twice the population, recorded fewer than half as many murders. So by any measure at all, Memphis was absolutely falling apart. But Liza Fletcher decided to make a life there anyway. After graduating from college, Fletcher moved back to Memphis. Both sides of her family had lived there for more than 100 years. She married a man she'd met in church. He grew up there too, and they had two little boys. She began teaching pre-kindergarten at a local girls' school. Here's a video that she made for her students at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns. It's only 15 seconds long, but you can tell immediately what sort of person Liza Fletcher was.
Hey, girls, it's Miss Fletcher. I miss all of you so much. I'm just at home with my kids, missing you guys, wishing we were back at St. Mary's. But I wanted to touch base and say, hey.
Hey, girls, it's Mrs. Fletcher. I miss you so much. So every year on their wedding anniversary, Liza Fletcher's husband wrote her a love note on Instagram. Reading them now will make you cry. But you can see why he felt that way. Her warmth and her decency shine through. Meanwhile in Memphis, 7 miles across the city, lived a man called Cleotha Abston. Like Liza Fletcher, Abston also grew up in the city of Memphis, but he could not have been a more different sort of person. Judging from his long public record, Cleotha Abston devoted his life to preying on people weaker than he was. Cleotha Abston was a predator. He was an evil man. At a young age, Abston was arrested for, among many, many other things, stealing, aggravated assault, weapons charges, carjacking, and rape. In 2000, he was convicted of kidnapping a local attorney at gunpoint downtown and forcing him into the trunk of his own car. Crimes like that are now common in Memphis. Last year, the city reported more than 100 kidnappings. But like most lifelong criminals, Cleotha Abston was never fully punished for what he did. He was released years before the end of his prison sentence, nor was he in any way since reformed by his experience behind bars. Abston was well known in his apartment complex as of last week for his sexual aggression and his perversity. He terrified his neighbors. But no one from any part of the justice system seems to have intervened. Early last Friday morning, Liza Fletcher and Cleotha Abston met for the first and last time. As her husband and two young children slept at home, Liza Fletcher went for an early morning run through her neighborhood. Cleotha Abston followed her, stalking her every move from a black SUV. According to the indictment, as Fletcher jogged by, Abston leapt out, beat her bloody, smashed her cell phone, then dragged her into his vehicle. Within an hour, Liza Fletcher was dead. She'd been sexually assaulted and murdered. Police arrested Abston soon after based on surveillance video, but he refused to say what had happened to Liza Fletcher. So her family waited in agony, but he didn't care. He never spoke. Yesterday, authorities finally found Liza Fletcher's body. She'd been thrown like garbage behind an abandoned building in a seedy part of town. The whole story could not be more shocking or more horrible. But here's what may be the scariest part. Some people didn't seem particularly shocked or horrified by it. In the hours after Liza Fletcher's disappearance, Biden voters on social media seemed to dismiss the crime on racial grounds. Why are we paying so much attention to the kidnapping of an attractive, privileged white woman? That's racist. Others seem to blame Fletcher for the atrocity committed against her. Why was she jogging at that hour anyway? In Memphis? Come on. The point they were making was clear. Everyone knows the rules. Liza Fletcher violated those rules. You can't go outside at certain hours in certain places in America, obviously. And if you do, if you violate the rules, you run the risk of being raped and murdered. That's how things work in this country. So adapt, accept it. Move on. To some extent, if we're being honest, all of us feel that way. Whether we articulate it or not, we know what the rules are. We know what we can and cannot do in modern America. Nothing is ever spelled out. Nothing can be spelled out at risk of punishment. but everyone knows what the parameters are. Cities like Memphis or Baltimore or Detroit or Montgomery or Gary, Indiana or Wilmington, Delaware or a dozen other formerly prosperous, orderly little cities across the country were destroyed forever by the rioting that accompanied our last progressive social revolution more than 50 years ago. Politicized criminals started breaking things, torching buildings, stealing. And immediately, anyone with a decent job just left. They pulled their kids out of school, sold the house or not, didn't matter, and they split for somewhere else. And mostly, they have never come back. That is true not simply in Memphis, but in places all over the country. So it seems a little weird to a lot of people when someone like Liza Fletcher, someone who could live anywhere, voluntarily moves back to a place like Memphis. Not to some suburb of Memphis, but to the city of Memphis. That seems weird to people. But it's not weird. It's not odd at all when you think about it. Liza Fletcher was from Memphis. She grew up there, and she had a right to come back. This was her country, too, just as it's your country, too. An American citizen should be able to live or walk anywhere in America without being raped or murdered for it, period. That is the baseline requirement for civilization. It's called order. But increasingly, that is not what we have. What we have is a country where you just can't go some places. You're not wanted there, and it's too dangerous for you to go. Most people accept this by default, but we should never accept this under any circumstances. To accept something is to concede that it is more or less normal. Once we acknowledge something as normal, whether it's children being castrated in the name of trans rights or women being murdered by rapists who should have been in prison but weren't because equity, once we accept that as normal, we are stuck with it forever. It is the new status quo. It will never change except to get worse. The good people who lived in Memphis a century ago would never believe what has happened to the city they built. They would weep if they saw it. That will be the experience of every American before long. Our entire country will be Memphis if we don't put a stop to this insanity right now with as much force as is required.
Well, thank you, dear Blood River Radio audience, for listening to that. I know that was a long clip, but I tell you, I was really impressed with it. He covered pretty much all the bases. And before we go to our people that with us, I'm going to make one more fact. I told you about that memorial run that they held at 4:30 in the morning yesterday. At the exact time, the 4:30 is the exact time, supposedly, that Liza Fletcher was first attacked. And get this, there was hundreds, probably thousands of people at that run. I was very, very impressed how many people were there. And I'm going to tell you something else. This is what's shocking. If you scan out in the crowd of the people that came to run and to memorialize her, I'd say it was over 99% white. I guarantee you. Here's the thing. The only blacks you saw there were, guess where? From the news media. And of all the people, they had like 99.9% whites out there. You had to look really hard to find a black. They picked a black to interview. And, you know, and so you know why they did. I mean, oh, he's so sorry. They're trying to deflect the obvious blame of who really commits all these horrible, senseless murders that most white people could never even dream of. So I just wanted to make that point. They never give up. They never tire. And I thought, you know what? I thought that was rubbing feces in our face, in the face of the white community. Back to you, Miss. Go ahead, Miss Nancy. Take off and let us know what you think about that clip and go to your outline. Anything you and the Alabama Lone Wolf wants to do, because the rest of the 2 hours belong to y'all.
Well, I would. I thought it was an excellent clip. I mean, it was fantastic. He covered all the bases, that's for sure. I think on the program that I had kind of outlined was crime in three urban cities with some statistics to consider. And I think they are kind of interesting statistics, talking about Memphis, my town of Louisville, and Detroit. These are all cities that are high crime areas now.
Oh, Sister Nancy, we have to go to our second break, and we'll go right back to you. Hold that thought. We'll go right back to you. Like you say, the rest of the hour and a half belongs to Sister Nancy and the Alabama Lone Wolf. Be right back, folks.
Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
Kim Jong-un insists North Korea will not be pressured into surrendering its nuclear weapons.
지금 겪고 있는 곤란을 잠시라도 면해보자고.
This came as he signed off on a new law requiring the military to automatically launch nuclear strikes when faced with an attack. Officials in the U.S. and South Korea believes Kim may soon launch a test of the country's nuclear weapons for the first time in 5 years, as he hopes the U.S. will consider North Korea as a nuclear power. The Department of Justice and former President Donald Trump have each submitted two candidates to serve as a special master to review documents seized from the former president's Mar-a-Lago home last month. Trump, who requested a special master in the case, claiming some of the documents are privileged, is seeking to, quote, split evenly the professional fees and expenses, end quote. But the DOJ does not agree with that, stating, quote, the government his position is that, as the party requesting the special master, plaintiff should bear the additional expense of the special master's work, end quote. This was written by federal lawyers.
Household wealth in the United States is down a record $6.1 trillion in the second quarter. That's the lowest in a year and the second consecutive quarterly decline. The Fed Reserve data points to a slumping stock market outweighing gains in real estate values that led to the fall. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
This is USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, Ken folks, we're going to go right back to Sister Nancy, and I do mean Ken folks. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Okay, we were talking a little bit about Memphis in the early days, and I was going to bring up a few facts about Louisville, the city where I live. My father was trying to make a living in dry cleaning back in the early 50s, and he would go into what we called then Little Africa, which was the western part of the city of Louisville. And he would go in there at night and pick up and deliver dry cleaning. He would do anything to try to make the dry cleaning business work for him. He was a self-employed dry cleaner. And he never had problems. In fact, the blacks would warn him at that time when he, if there was someone that they were concerned about, they would warn him that there was a stranger in the neighborhood. And so things were very different. We might look at why things were different back then. I did look at statistics in the 1950s as far as the population in Louisville of blacks. And back in the 50s, it was a smaller percentage, something in the range of 16% of the known population at that time was black. Now it's 24%. But since Memphis is now vying for Detroit in the crime range, I decided to look at the statistics regarding Louisville, Memphis, and Detroit. And they are comparable in size. I wouldn't have thought they were, but they are comparable in size. And these are some of the facts regarding Louisville. And I've compared 2020 and 2021 to the other two cities. And, of course, we have a very high crime rate, probably two shootings a night in Louisville. And in 2020, there were 173 murders and 584 non-fatal shootings. In 2021, we had 188 murders and almost the same shootings, 583 non-fatal shootings. Compared to Memphis, in 2020, Memphis had 332 murders. In 2021, they had a high number, which made them actually the crime capital of the country, at 346 murders. In Detroit, in 2020, they had 327. In 2021, they were bragging that they had a reduction of 309 murders. Of course, this does not include all of the other crimes, robbing, rapes, assaults. It's just strictly murders and the non-fatal shootings. So my question, which is never covered by the media, is how do these criminals get guns? We know that the majority of them are stolen. What good are gun laws? How are gun laws going to help us to control crime?
I agree. If I could just chime in a second, Miss Nancy, I agree. The president of this country, Joe Biden, he just hammered down even more recently in the last day or two that he's going to ban assault weapons. You know, mm-hmm. He talks about banning this. He talks about those MAGA Republicans being the greatest threat to democracy. That's his words. But, y'all, I don't see MAGA Republicans. I don't see them raping and killing innocent white women. I haven't seen MAGA Republicans live streaming while they shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen. Have y'all seen that?
No way.
No. According to Biden and the FBI director. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say one more little comment. We're talking about Louisville and Memphis primarily tonight, but keep in mind that's pretty much all big cities that have been taken over by these same type of individuals, and I'm being nice saying individuals,
right?
But that's where we're at now. But go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Well, I just wanted this is what I want the listeners to hone in to. I think these are very important facts. Louisville, and these are 2019 estimates of population versus the percentage of whites versus blacks in the cities. In 2019, Louisville had approximately 631,306 citizens. 24% were black. In 2019, Memphis had 651,073, and the whites were 30%, and the blacks were 63%. In Detroit in 2019, you had 670,000 people, and in 2010, 82% of the population was black. In 2020, which would be closer to the time that we're talking about, 77% were black. Now, what do these statistics mean to you and to our listeners?
Go ahead, Ben.
It means it's a common denominator right there, but nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the common denominator of all these big cities, their downfall, their struggles, their crime rates, and all that. It's by Negroes. Let's just say it. It's by Negroes that they have no concern for life. And let me just say this. I don't fit in. I mentioned the MAGA Republicans. I don't fit in into that MAGA Republican category. But what I'd like to say, if Biden and these leftists feel the way that he has made plain that they feel about MAGA Republicans, just imagine how they feel about folks like us.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. They hate us.
Rand, I'd like to ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Rand a quick question. I think he can answer it, but if he can't, you can answer it, Miss Nancy. I'm just going to chime in a minute. Rand, that speech that Biden gave in talking about, you know, the 73 million MAGA Republicans, voters, et cetera, you've listened to the speech. Do you think, and I think you said something about it, do you think, in your opinion, that it was a call out, a not so veiled message to the Democrat, Satan-worshipping communist, which has become the Democratic Party? Do you think he was giving them the green light to just start attacking people in the streets like Eliza Fletcher the other night?
Absolutely, Eddie. Absolutely. That's a great point that you bring up. He did everything except go out and shoot them and hang them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%. And that's where we're at, y'all, and that's a dangerous place to be, you know. But, you know, let me say this real quick while we're on that subject. I was talking to a mechanic guy today about our current events and things going on, and he made the statement that he didn't think that that this outbreak or hot war, you might say, probably wasn't going to happen in our lifetime, but it would happen in our children's lifetime. And I'm like, and I didn't get in a confrontation with him because I like the guy. I mean, he flies Confederate flags. He wears Confederate flag boots, and he's a damn good mechanic. But I'm like, man, and I am going to mention it to him in a later conversation, but I'm like, man, I mean, that's all the more reason to do something now. Why wait? Why we want to send all this bullshit in our children and grandchildren's laps? Why we want to leave it in their lap? Especially when we know that they're being the games that they've, you know, the game players and all that, they've been feminized down. I mean, why? They ain't going to be able to handle it, y'all. If people don't step up right now, grown men, if they don't get off their ass, And wake up in a morning or one morning, and good people, good men go out and do very bad things to very bad people, we might as well just kiss it goodbye.
Well, folks, that's the music. We got to go to our last break of the first hour. Mr. Rand, I will submit to you that not just the younger people, but I would submit to you that probably the majority of the people in our so-called movement wouldn't lift a finger because they're too much of a damn coward. Be right back, people, the last segment of the first hour. Hang on.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
This is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, dear people, we're really going faster than I'd like to this towards this clock. Listen, I'm going to ask Rand a quick question. You know, earlier in the broadcast, I made the point that 99%, it was the number of blacks in this crowd of thousands of people, which is really, it was totally insignificant. These black news people, evidently, they probably trucked this other black in. He's in his running suit and his matching stuff. And so they could ask him the question. I thought, you know what? I thought that was rubbing salt in the wound. I think that was making people drink brine water like they did Jesus. With that in mind, Rand, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you if I'm right or wrong. I think Eliza Fletcher, the news media they'll hone in on this. They'll focus on the man. But then they'll say, like this prosecutor here in Memphis, his name was Steve Mulroy, I believe. He's a George Soros appointee. He won the election. What a shocker. George Soros got into the election here in Memphis. We had a 10-year incumbent district attorney kicked out, and this George Soros guy's in. Well, two different people. I think Mulroy was one of them. And one of the FBI agents said, this was just an isolated event. It wasn't planned. This is extremely rare. I've heard one of the news people say it, one of the black news people. Usually when somebody gets murdered, you know, 99 times out of 10, it's all this somebody they know, their lovers quarrel, et cetera, et cetera. This rarely happens. Well, you know, it's so rare that it happens like 35,000 times a year, white women getting raped, 30 to 50,000, hundreds of thousands one year. Rand, I believe, I'm going to see if you think I'm right, this ongoing violent, the murder, the rape, the arson, the stealing, the looting, but it's not just the United States. It's anywhere in Europe. It's anywhere where they have a black population, a non-white population. I mean, they're just feral humanoids as far as I'm concerned. I think they're going to use this this Eliza thing, they're going to focus on it, but they'll say, they'll draw the attention away. They'll use her to draw attention away from the other thousands. You know what? There's thousands of Eliza, white Eliza Fletchers every year that are raped, brutally raped. I mean, you can look no further than Knoxville, Tennessee back in 2007. But also, Rand, this going to be used by the Jew. Everybody knows who owns the media. It's the Jews, the stinking Jews. It's the Jews own the political system. They own the university system. The so-called isolated white martyr, for instance, that never happens. In fact, it happens, like I said, every day. Am I just imagining things? Well, the only reason they're focusing on her so much is to draw attention away from the other thousands of people out there, Rand. Well, am I off base?
No, not at all, Eddie. You're exactly right. You can go down a list. All you got to do is search for it.
like Miss Nancy does. And I want to take a second right here to thank her for all of her research that she does. All you got to do is go out there and search for it, people, and you see that these kind of acts happen on a daily basis across this country. But you know, Eddie, right. You're exactly right. You know, it doesn't seem that Negroes robbing, that Negroes raping, that Negroes shooting white folks at random, that doesn't warrant a threat to national security. But you let a white person step up and say something about these events, they are the ones that's looked upon as a threat to this national, so-called national security that the leftists and Biden and all them preach about. But no, I agree with you 100%, well, Eddie. It happens in all the big cities. You just don't hear about it all the time.
Eddie, I was going to point out something in the past when I have been involved in quite a few different protests. And here in Louisville many years ago when we had anti-protest busing, you could always count on a black reporter to do the reporting. There's a psychological reason why they bring in black reporters. A white person feels somewhat embarrassed to really tell the truth to how they feel, or that they're against busing, or that they're against racial mixing. So they bring in a black reporter. This is very common, and I have seen it happen repeatedly. And my advice to anyone who is in a protest, never, ever speak to any reporter, because they are going to rewrite what you have said. The best thing to do when confronted by a reporter is to say, read my sign, and don't say a word more, because whatever you say is going to be distorted, and it's going to come out as though you were the bad guy. You're always the bad guy. I want to bring up something that is also compares to the information I just gave you about the percentages of blacks that are in these crime-ridden cities. I think the listeners would be kind of interested in this list. I looked for a listing of safe cities. Safe cities. Well, guess what? One of them is in my state. There were several. There might have been 20 that they listed. One of them is a rather small town, Elizabethtown. And the population of blacks in Elizabethtown, Kentucky is 8.4%. Portland, Maine, 8.3%. Another very safe city is Logan, Utah, 1.3%. Now, how does that compare with the statistics we're talking about in Detroit with 77% blacks and Memphis with 63% blacks? Now, does this make sense? Does this make can people make deductions based on these facts?
Makes very good sense. I just took a trip out to my daughter and son-in-law's in Salt Lake City. They live in a suburb out there, and I was out there for 7 days. I saw one nigger the whole time I was out there. He was in a Home Depot, so it makes excellent sense to me. It was so refreshing, and I'm a heart of Dixie boy. Don't get me wrong. I probably won't never move to Utah, but I can see why my daughter would never move back to Alabama. And you know, that's sad, and that's our fault. That's white men's fault right here for letting our place turn to shit like it has.
Mm-hmm. Right. What I think is also interesting, I was trying to research if there have ever been blacks accused or indicted of hate crimes. Now, the only thing I could come up with, some of them have been accused of hate crimes, but you know why? Only when they are attacking someone, they scream out that they hate whites or they want to kill whitey. So, you know, this is how it works out for us.
Yeah, why wouldn't this act against this white woman, although I've read where she was a social justice warrior, bless her heart, Imagine what might have been running through her mind when all this was going on. Because she's advocated. She moved back to Memphis, knowing the condition that the city was in. And she's advocated for Black Lives Matter and social justice.
I've got a comment on that, Rand.
Remorse for her. But go ahead, Eddie.
I'm going to comment on that. In fact, I think I talked to you about this. And I don't want the people to get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong when I'm saying. I mean, I hate it. I actually do hate when any white person is murdered in a fashion like that. There are blood. Maybe she could be rehabilitated. But I'll say this, people. I'm going to frame it like this. Rand, I wondered about that. Rand is right. If it has to happen to a white person, if a white person has to be brutally raped and tortured and thrown in an empty, in a weed field behind a condemned house in a black neighborhood, I'm glad it happened to a billionaire, white conservatives, self-hating cuck, that basically has worked against her own race all these years. They're like a bitch dog that has a litter of puppies, and the bitch dog bites her own puppies in the throat and nurses a litter of rats. That's the way I look at people that adopt these Negroids. They go to Africa, they go to Haiti, and they bring they buy them some Negroes. But you know what, Rand and Miss Nancy, I'll double down. If it has to happen to a white person, let it happen to another one of these BLM, black Antifa, we hate white people. Let it happen to them. They need a dose of it. That's the only, and I said, these people here, her family, this is a billionaire family. They have the means to do something about this, because you don't bring in $3 billion a year and be without resources. But yeah, I'll just say it. I hate that it had to happen to a white person, but thank God it wasn't one of our people. Our good white people that are on this. I mean, let it happen to them. They brought it in. They're part of the. They're the problem. They're the ones that created the damn problem. These white cucks.
I'm
shutting
real
up.
Quick.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rand.
Probably the kind of family that donate to the damn Southern Poverty Law Center. And I hate to say that, but they're probably the typical type of families that have the money, because the Southern Poverty Law Center, they get a pile of money donated to them.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They could finance every show, every conservative show in the United States out of the taxes on their tax. But, yeah, that makes me – you know what? And they live in white – she went to a Lily White school, elite school. If you are going to ask tuition, you don't apply. She went to a Lily White college up here in Nashville. It's a very elite private school up there, right? I've gone right by. I can't remember the name of it right now. But see, this hanging out with these violent Negroes, that's not for me. That's for thee. And now it's coming. I mean, and I hope people don't get it wrong, because, listen, I cried over this. I mean, it upset me so bad. It really did. But, I mean, I got to say it. They bring it on themselves, these rich people, and these conservatives, these crazy, lunatic, Satan-worshiping Democrats, especially in Midtown. They go for the, they have the Black Lives Matter. They have love is love. Praise any kind of sodomy. They have a headquarters in Midtown. It used to be just LGBT. Now it's everything like that. They fly their flags. They have Black Lives Matter stuff. I read across a Black Lives Matter, queer, proud of it in Midtown this morning. That's everywhere. Well, these SOB, they're stupid people. You're bringing it on yourself. So you know what? You sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. Miss Nancy, what do you think about that before we go to a break?
Well, I hope you're right about her philosophy, because I really don't know about her philosophy.
Well, I think Rand said he checked it out. If I'm right, if she was, thank God it wasn't one of us. I mean, I'll catch holy hell for that, but that's just the way I feel. Better one of them than us. People, we're going right back to the second hour. And when we come back, I'm going to open up with my answering Miss Nancy a question. And we'll take it from there. Be right back.